Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Yeah, it's a line full of quarterbacks attached to the Giants. Yeah!
Back in town. Slightly okay. Not sure why.
Look out, Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah. A little off key on that one, I apologize.
Yes, sir, yes, sir! 202 on the fan. Chris McMonagle here with you in the overnights. You know the deal. I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. Fliegelman will answer. He will direct you to me, and that's how we will go through these 3 hours together. And I can't wait. We finally reached the day. We'll get to the baseball and both team superstars hopefully turning a corner. We'll get to it. We'll get to the Knicks later tonight. But we have arrived. We have arrived at the NFL draft. And as is my daily custom the last couple of days, I roll over and I see more news. I see more news and I see more teams attached, more quarterbacks attached to the New York Giants on a daily basis. Every stinking report. I've never been happier. It's like Christmas morning every day the last two days. I mean, it's just, I understand that a lot could happen. And I understand that a Malik Nabers is still the odds-on favorite to be the pick, and in my bones, if I had to try and come up with what's going to happen for the New York Giants, I do think that the wide receiver pick is probably more likely because it's difficult to get these quarterbacks who are all going to be drafted. But I don't think it's noise. I don't think it's a smokescreen. I don't think it's BS when you hear everyone, and I mean everyone, tell you how desperate the New York Giants are to come out with a quarterback in this draft. I don't think it's just smoke screens and lies and misinformation, which is so common this time of year from every team in the NFL. I don't believe it to be when you do look at how much time and energy they have spent into dealing with these quarterbacks and meeting with these quarterbacks. And you've got reports now from Graziano that, hey, Michael Penix is someone that could be drafted sixth overall. That's how much they love him. You got J.J. McCarthy on Rich Eisen's show. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive, or maybe I haven't seen a lot, but how often do you see these prospects openly talk? He was asked in the interview, if you haven't seen it, you got to go get it. Got to go check it out. J.J. McCarthy with Rich Eisen. Do you know where you're going? And immediately, which I'm shocked to even ask the question, but immediately J.J. McCarthy comes back with, well, I've had great, meetings with the Giants. And, Brian Daboll has done an incredible job. And, a lot of, my offensive coordinator in college came through Alabama. He came through Alabama. All the different, a lot of things are the same. We've had a really great meeting of the minds. Oh, they're going to trade up to, they're in love with Drake May. They put so much work into all these quarterbacks. I'm finally starting to believe that by hook or by crook, the New York Giants are desperate to find a way to do the only thing that's sensible and bring themselves a young quarterback of the future, because Daniel Jones is no longer someone you can trust. And I want to make something clear on a couple of different levels that we've heard as well. This does not mean that I think Daniel Jones is a complete bum who is terrible. Nor do I think the Giants think that. They just paid him a lot of money. And I do believe in the other reports that ownership, namely John Mara, isn't thrilled with the idea of having to move up, which is what you'll have to do to secure yourself one of these quarterbacks. But I understand the idea of Joe Shane going back into, John Mara's office, knocking on the door and going, excuse me, sir, remember when I asked you for all that money for a contract for the quarterback who led us to a a road playoff win. Yeah. I'm going to have to just say that was a bit of a mistake. And now we're looking to, you know, give up like a ton of draft equity. And I know we did it. We gave up a second round pick for an edge rusher, but I feel like that was worthy. I think everybody liked that, right? I mean, you read the papers. It was good. Everybody seems happy with it. And so now it's time to really, you know, trade up and make sure we get that quarterback of the future. And I know I told you 2 years ago we had him, but, you know, things happen. And neck injuries reemerge and knee injuries. Yep, I know. No, I know we haven't really given him weapons or an offensive line. I understand that. But, yeah, it's time to move on. And if you don't get it, Mara, too freaking bad. Because that's what the truth is. Because of the injuries, because of the unreliability of Daniel Jones, they have to figure out a way. And I believe that these two guys who are looking to secure their future, like, and that's what also has come about the last 2 days about how you make sure you build something here, or what's a crapshoot, as the terminology used so much when talking about the NFL draft. And you're seeing now that even with these three stud wide receivers, that can't miss, right? Can't miss. You're seeing that first round picks, the stats are all over the place the last couple days. I don't know why it took months, but over the last few days, you're seeing statistics and reports all over the place that wide receivers are a actual bigger crapshoot than the quarterback position. That you have seen more unsuccessful first round picks at the wide receiver position than you have any other in the sport. Now, I know these three wide receiver prospects are studs. I'm not denying that. These three wide receiver prospects seem to be can't miss, and the Giants desperately need a wide receiver. I don't deny any of that. But we talk about the quarterback position as if, well, if you draft, I mean, it's just a complete crapshoot, and it's, I'm tired of seeing this guy fail and that guy fail. We've seen him, look at this guy, look at that guy, look at this guy, look at that guy. And then we talk about the other picks that the Giants could make as if they're guarantees. They are not guarantees, especially if the wide receiver is getting thrown the ball by Drew Lock 3 weeks into the season because Daniel Jones goes down again. Or even the same Daniel Jones who played last year, who couldn't get the ball down the field, and Tyrod Taylor made this offense work much more efficiently and actually had their rookie wide receiver Hyatt, like, I don't know, part of the game plan. The fact of the matter is the Giants and Brian Daboll in particular, who is brought here as someone who develops quarterbacks, and we've seen it. The best year of Daniel Jones' career that we rave about, that we need to hold on to with our fingernails and just, oh God, we need him. We can still be something. Don't you see, people? I mean, come on, he's still great. That's because of one season, was because of Brian Daboll developing in. Brian Daboll understanding the ability of Daniel Jones to run and seeing his weaknesses and avoiding them and turn and stop from him becoming a turnover machine to just someone who tucks the ball and runs when he can't get through progressions. And it led them to a great year. We see him turn Tommy DeVito into a household name and one of the stories of the NFL for a few weeks this season. And obviously, his crowning achievement that got him this job, the development of Josh Allen. So every day as I see them attached to this quarterback, and they're desperate for May, they're looking to trade up for May. Now, I think at six, they have a unique position to offer to, say, the Cardinals at four, that they could still get their one of these three wide receivers at the sixth spot as opposed to trading back further with either Denver, who's a team that's been linked to trading up for a quarterback, or Minnesota, who might be able to present bigger packages, although I don't know if Denver can, considering what they've given up for Russell Wilson over the last few years, what they even gave up for their head coach. So I don't know what kind of package they can put forward, or how many, you know, how long they want to go without first round picks. So I don't know if Denver is someone, but obviously, clearly, Minnesota with two first round picks is someone who probably could give a more impactful, draft altering, future altering trade offer for either New England at three, if they're not enamored with one of the quarterbacks, or certainly Arizona at four. But the Giants do offer a sixth pick overall, and a spot where you could still move back, acquire some more draft picks, and yet still take one of these three wide receivers that will still be there at six, especially if you're trading for someone to come up and take a quarterback. If four quarterbacks go off the board in the first four picks, do the math. So I understand you're talking about trading away a lot of draft equity. And I understand that they lost a second-round pick, or they don't have a second-round pick because of the trade for the edge rusher. And I understand that, hey, you're building here and they've got holes and you have to build this roster and it's not about just one player. It is about just one player. It is. When it's the quarterback, it's about one player. When you look around the league at the great quarterbacks, tell me what you wouldn't give up for them. They have other draft picks. They have other drafts. They have free agency. There's other ways of filling this hole that they have throughout the roster. There's only one way to impact winning. They have to go out and get their quarterback. And I'll see. We'll see. If it's not meant to be at the sixth position, I don't think they'll force it. I don't think you'll see a Bo Nix or a Penix at six. I really don't. I could see it later moving back into the first round, but there is no doubt in my mind. For me, Neighbors is still the likely pick. A wide receiver is still the likely pick for a Giants because it's difficult to get this quarterback right now, because 1, 2, and 3 are definitely going quarterback, and there's going to be other teams looking to get up to 4 and 5 to take one in front of you. It's difficult. It's not easy. I don't think the Giants will force it and take a quarterback they don't believe in, but I have no doubt that tonight and up until they are on the clock, or 3 is on the clock, or 4 is on the clock, the Giants are doing everything they can to get their quarterback. And we'll see if they're able to do it. But plan B is the wide receiver. Plan A is the quarterback. And I'm so thankful they realize it. I'm so happy that they actually understand it. And I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see if they can accomplish it. But make no mistake, that's exactly what should happen. And that doesn't mean Daniel Jones should go. I heard, you know, Boomer this morning, I've heard other people, well, you draft a quarterback, that's it. You can't have Daniel Jones around. It's saying that you don't believe in him. It's saying, yeah. It's saying it's over. Daniel Jones is a professional. Daniel Jones is getting paid a lot of money. And Daniel Jones, if he wants another contract with another team and another opportunity in the NFL, he better play his ass off. And I have no problem, none. In fact, I think it's part of the reason I love drafting the quarterback so much is they're not forced. Forced into a situation that I think plays a lot into the idea of so many failing quarterbacks. The rushing them right to the top, rushing them right out the gate. I think it's important sometimes in the numbers of the money of today. I understand it. I understand why we rush these quarterbacks. I get it. I know why they have to play right away. The Giants in a position with Daniel Jones and the contract they can't get rid of, where it makes perfect sense to give this young quarterback some time and have a maybe pissed off, maybe motivated, and clearly looking for his next opportunity, Daniel Jones out there playing, hopefully, the best football of his career. And if so, halfway through the year, trade deadline, maybe there's a spot that someone needs a quarterback, and you can acquire draft picks back for Daniel Jones. It's the perfect scenario. They will go do it. And now, what is the perfect scenario for the Jets at number 10? This one is easy. For me, it's easy. And I think so many people are overthinking this for the New York Jets. So many people are looking too far down the road. So many people have this fear of the tight end. I don't understand it. I heard Sal all day. And I love this one too. I love the, hey, and they use this not just for tight ends, but all different positions. Hey, Travis Kelce was drafted in the 3rd round. You can get a tight end later. That's the biggest. I could give you every position under the sun and show you how you could fill it with later in the draft. You don't need anything then. I can show you offensive linemen who were drafted later in the draft. I can show you wide receivers drafted later in the draft. I can show you clearly running backs. I can show you quarterbacks. I can show you defensive backs. I can show you every position under the sun that was drafted in the 3rd or 4th round so you can find them later on. Of course, you can find everything later on if you're smart enough. But here's my main thing with the New York Jets. And here's my main thing when I think people are looking too, you know, abstract at the New York Jets when you should be laser focused. I think both these teams should be laser focused. The Giants on filling the one hole every team has to fill, and the Jets should be laser focused. And I don't normally feel this way, but I think this is a unique position. The Jets should be laser focused on the next 2 years with Aaron Rodgers. That's it. So if the idea is, well, okay, maybe a tight end or would be great with Aaron Rodgers, I suppose, but what if he goes down? Or what if he retires? Or what if he gets hurt and can't play, and now they have a young quarterback and it's not helping them as much? Look at Kyle Pitts. Look at Kyle Pitts. Look at Kyle Pitts. Yeah, I understand. Kyle Pitts had an aging Matt Ryan, who still his rookie year had 1,000 yards, and then had no quarterback. And sure, a pass-catching tight end who you're not sure if he can block is not a fundamental staple of a team when you don't have a quarterback. We all understand that. But I am laser-focused on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years, on a team that traded away everything for a Hall of Fame quarterback, who has got in bed with this quarterback and all that comes with him to try and end this, to try and stop being the Jets, the same old Jets. Stop all this losing. They've put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket, and typically I don't like the idea of short-sighted natures of looking at teams because you want to build sustained winning. But I don't, honestly, if I'm a Jet fan and they've done what they've done and they've built this team the way they built it, and they do have young pieces at defense, at obviously shutdown corner, they have young pieces at the running back position and the wide receiver one, there's one thing I'm looking towards. They've built a defense here. I am looking at improving this passing game for the next 2 years, and I'll use every asset I have, including my most valuable, which is the first-round pick. So if one of the three wide receivers is still there, okay, I'm open to it. I know they got Mike Williams, but I can't trust his health. I don't know exactly how he's going to play this year. I would still take that maybe that stud wide receiver if I believe that much. But if they're all gone, as I think most people think they will be, as this is going to be a quarterback and wide receiver top-heavy draft, if they have an opportunity to get an offensive weapon, the likes of Brock Bowers and what he's capable of and what you've seen in his career at Georgia, and you can bring that to Aaron Rodgers, who really has never had that dynamic, never had that playmaker at that position on his team, and what that could be, what kind of safety blanket that could be, what kind of red zone weapon that could be. I'm not thinking about, hey, I need to draft at the 10th spot positions that are staples of a franchise. I need to draft pillars of an organization, and the tight end isn't one. This is a unique thing for me where I am laser focused on the needs of this particular team for the next 2 years, because damn it, I'm going to win a freaking Super Bowl if my life, if it's the last thing I do. Like, that's how I'm looking at it for the New York Jets. I'll worry about the next few years in the next few years. And if this is a colossal failure and I find myself in a worser position in 2 years because I've chased the dream, then so be it. Then so be it. I've already taken the first couple of major steps towards that. I might as well see it through as opposed to half-assing it. So I'm not concerned about Kyle Pitts and the traps of a tight end prospect. And I'm not concerned about the idea, oh, you can find tight ends later in the draft. I am looking at the best possible weapon to help Aaron Rodgers end my Baker's dozen years of not making the playoffs. I am looking at making sure this offense is as good as my defense and gives me an opportunity to compete in this division as we see the Bills starting to fade in cap hell, jettisoning players to save money. As I see an opportunity to be a team competing for a championship, that is my laser focus. So as we walk into tonight, as we get ready for, yes, a Knicks playoff game, as we get ready, yes, for an Islander playoff game, we also get ready for what hopefully will be the beginning night of a new genre and a new era for New York Giant football and what will be the beginning of a special year for the New York Jets. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's both the same and completely different, where I think both teams should be laser focused, but on opposite things. The Giants need to be laser focused on building a foundation for sustained winning over multiple years, and the Jets should be laser focused on getting the best team possible for Aaron Rodgers over the next two. And for me, that's drafting a quarterback for the Giants and trading up if I have to do it. And for the Jets, it's drafting an offensive weapon. And if that's the tight end, if that's the guy they feel most comfortable with, if he's the one left after all three top wide receiving prospects are drafted, then you do it. 877-337-6666. McBonnell here with you. We will get to the baseball. We'll preview the Knicks and Islanders. And we'll get you ready for your Thursday morning. It's a big one. We have a big day coming. I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are endless.